that theme song in my head.
Thank you for being a friend. Welcome to Spinsters, where, unlike Malik Monk, we currently have no groin injuries. I'm Haley O'Shaughnessy.
And I'm Jordan Liggins.
Did you know Harry's never seen Reba?
What?
I know. Okay. I was like, dude, what the fuck? Yeah, fired.
I don't even know what that is. Like, other before Haley said anything.
Oh, I was like, we just talked about this.
No. I'm saying it wasn't even like Full House or like some show that I knew but haven't seen.
It was really funny. Like, really
Reba
funny.
Was really
whenever
funny.
I would
she always used
watch
to do
it,
that little face.
And the accent, that's the and the dynamics. It was actually like laugh out loud funny, which not a lot of shows are.
She it was on CMT, so if you didn't watch a lot of country music channel, that's that's on you. I don't know what else to say to you. Okay. Before we get started, a couple housekeeping things. First of all, our friend Katie Heindel, who's done an episode for us before that I love, one of my favorites, called What It Feels Like to Be Traded.
So good.
Which came out in March, maybe?
Early on.
Early
on. One of
our
first contributor narratives.
We had no idea what we were doing. And Katie was so kind about that. No. I feel like a little bit more, but still not much. Katie has turned her amazing newsletter, Basketball Feelings, into a website. And eventually she's going to do a podcast. I'm really excited about this. I told her to send me like a paragraph about it so I could read it on this. And she said she was like very shy about it. And I said, Katie, if you don't send something, so she did. And right. I'm going to read it. Basketball Feelings is a newsletter that blends basketball commentary with a Dear Diary sensibility, taking a sometimes emotional but always empathetic look at the people, tough subjects, and dramatic nuance of the NBA. And now it's a website. You can subscribe at basketballfeelings.com, which will soon add a podcast for paid subscribers featuring some of your industry faves talking about their feelings, but the newsletter stays free. Feelings are important. Feelings forever, and in the immortal words of And in the immortal words of Haley O'Shaughnessy, quote, don't diminish this cool thing. I did tell her that. Katie's my favorite.
That's so cute.
I think that no one's writing about the NBA like she's writing about the NBA. No one's writing about sports the way she writes about sports. So that has my highest recommendations. I can't wait for the podcast. Yeah, basketballfeelings.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Also, if you like the show, please rate and review. But you also very much don't have to. And we are still happy to have you either way.
We really have to work on that. Like,
I don't know.
Please
whatever.
Do.
Like,
but
it's
you don't
your.
Have to. We love you either
way. I would love
way.
It if
your
you did.
Right. It's not conditional on if you rate and review. We still love you. But thank you so much in advance for rating and reviewing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is a good compromise. The playoffs.
Bam, 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 bam.
What do you think about the first game?
That was my air horn.
Oh, that was good.
So good. So good. I think this is just an amazing matchup. And what we're talking about is the WNBA finals between the Chicago Sky and the Phoenix Mercury. It's like vintage Diana Taurasi, vintage Candace Parker. I think these teams match up super well. The number one seed, number two seed, where is she? Don't know. They're gone. Now it's the number five and number six seed in the finals. I think that is amazing, and that's a part of the joys of this WNBA playoff format. Is you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, truly. It's chaos. I don't know. And I think the whole time I felt a little bit more like Chicago had more energy. Well, even in the beginning. But when they went on that 17-0 run in the second quarter, which my ESPN kept going in and out through it. And I was like restarting the Roku. My pasta was heating up. I had to restart it again. But through that whole battle with ESPN and trying to get it to load, they won a 17-0 run. It was crazy. Clea Copper is just fantastic.
She's like, so good.
She's so well-rounded as a player.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
The rebounding, the steals, the layups. Like, how hard is it to get layups in a WNBA game? Like, she makes it look so easy just attacking the basket. It's a joy to watch her play basketball.
Yeah, and in transition too as well, which was really, especially in this, like, the Mercury just looks sluggish. She shot outside too. Like, she can hold up a game. She can fast roll a game. I think she's great. And apparently, I didn't know this, way back in training camp, Candace Parker was telling her, you're going to be the guy for us. And I truly do not believe a lot of people expected that. This season has been all about Candace's homecoming. But yeah, the Mercury looks sluggish. So I don't know.
And it's hard. It's hard to say sluggish when they just played Friday.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's another thing. When they were playing that game, I was like, this is actually wild that they started game one. And Diana Taurasi's wife had a baby, like, the night before. She went home, showered, went back to the gym. So, like, a lot has happened for them in the past, like, 3 days. No excuse. But at the same time, it's... they're going to have a couple more days to kind of settle in. The next game is on Wednesday, game two. But Chicago has been this fast and this high tempo, you know, transition. They've been this team all year. And that's why I was saying, okay, if the Aces would have won, they both have that type of game. So it's going to be whoever blinks first, like whoever has the most turnovers is going to lose. But Phoenix wants to slow the game down. They want to get it inside to Griner, back to the basket, let her take her time. And Chicago's like, we've already scored 10 points while Brittany Griner's just doing that one post move.
Yeah, they have to win inside, and they just did not. Mm-hmm. They didn't. And to what you're saying, yeah, like Diana Taurasi's wife, Penny, Saturday morning, she had a baby. Like, congratulations to them. But Friday, you win to advance. Saturday morning, you have, is it their first child?
Second.
I mean, I don't know. It's not like it gets less exhausting or less important that your wife is having a baby. I remember there was that post-game interview on Friday, and Diana Taurasi was like, hold on. Just hold on, Penny. Like, I'm coming.
Yeah, she said, hold it in. She said, hold it in.
I'm like, I don't think that's how it works.
But that game was so stressful. That game was so stressful that she actually went into labor. Like, that was, we were joking about that as W fans, but, like, it actually happened.
Yeah. Speaking of Diana, did you see that W fans voted her the league's greatest of all time?
Yes. And I have some thoughts. Just okay. A couple. I won't rant. I won't bore
no,
you.
No, actually, I do as well. What did you think about it?
Here's the thing. Diana Taurasi, the White Mamba, she's an amazing player. But I just have a problem with this award altogether. Like, it's genuinely a popularity contest. Like, this isn't based off of who's won the most championships, who's won the most MVPs. Like, Diana Taurasi surprisingly has only had one MVP and one championship. And Tamika Catchings is like, oh, hello. And Cynthia Cooper is like, I'm here. So I think it's not really the GOAT based off of, you know, championships, MVPs, and the trophies. This is, we've all collectively voted and said this player is the face of the W for the past 25 years. And I agree with that. But goading her as like accolade wise, there are players that have won more.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because the very nature of like greatest of all time or rankings conversations is that it's subjective anyway. Mm-hmm. And the criteria is different for each person. Like you said, you think she has maybe affected more than other players the shape and image and maybe notoriety of a league, but doesn't necessarily mean that she's won the most. But does that mean also that she's not the best? Because winning is circumstantial with the rest of your team. To me, this is interesting because the W is young and it's split between eras of exposure and not as much exposure and teams mm-hmm. that no longer exist and ones that have prevailed and so much fluctuation that it feels like quite a few players might have fallen between the cracks. So it's interesting. I do get why they decided to do that because it is world building mm-hmm. and starting those conversations. Like, I can't wait to be annoyed at W GOAT conversations. Yeah. But it's, you know, what's fun is like fun to actively watch the history of something build and watch mm-hmm. a foundation being built off of, because the W has that. They have this foundation. It's fun to see the, what's the next step of this metaphor? Columns being built up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of fun. And that's also why I really am enjoying like the NWSL right now. But I thought that was cool. You know, I have the same reservations as you with her being definitively it. But I think that's also the fun of, maybe not the debate, but it's the fun of the label, is that there's really never any definitively it, like best player in any sport. Mm-hmm. There's just people who have defined eras and,
yes,
I guess in some ways defined leagues. And that's what they were. That's where we can give Diana Taurasi every flower ever. Of course. You know, she's, yeah, fantastic. And like you were saying, this is like a, we were talking to our producer, Harry, before this, and he asked, is this, has she just had this going the entire time, or is this like more of a resurgence? What you said was, this is more of a resurgence. There's nothing I like more than people who, well, all right. I was going to say, there's nothing I like more than somebody who just always, you can always count on them. No matter what this regular season was like, no matter what the seasons before were like, will be fantastic in the playoffs. But that's also kind of why the Ravens kept Joe Flacco for so long, and I'm never going to appreciate anything that has to do with them keeping him for so long. That's also very, like, playoff Rondo, you know, that kind of legend stuff. But, I mean, obviously she's miles and miles above that. But when's game two?
It's Wednesday. Coming up, I think every game is must watch. And remember, for the W, it's best of five. So you got to watch every game, because this is also the biggest storyline, is this is a rematch of the 2014 finals, Chicago versus Phoenix. Phoenix won. Brittany Griner was only, I think it was only her second year in the league. And Courtney Vandersloot was on that Chicago team. They had Sylvia Fowles, they have Elena Deladon, and now this is a completely different team. They're hungry. They got Kalea Copper. They have Candace Parker. It's gonna be great. I'm rooting for the Chicago Sky. I am, actually.
Yeah,
totally 100%. Biased because I interviewed Candace this year.
Actually, maybe I'm not. Maybe I want Diana to win. Because of exactly what you were just saying about the GOAT conversation. I don't know.
Yeah.
TBD. I'll let you know. Just I feel like watching. they didn't get a fair shake of it. Yeah, because of the turnaround, like you were saying.
Well, and we saw in that Vegas series that it could be 20-point swings like each night. So I will not put it past the Mercury to come back and ignore that big loss. So
yeah.
Basketball's good.
Yeah, the basketball's good. To that end, also, if you are watching the games and you are tweeting about the games, I think you should pick up the newest edition, the third edition of Flagrant magazine. They did a whole spread on WNBA Twitter, and it's beautiful.
It looks so good. I can't decide.
I think I'm going to get a second one just so I can frame some of the pictures in it.
Yeah.
You guys need to sell those as prints. You should work on that, Flagrant people. I'll let them know after this. Do more work. Can you hear my stomach growling?
No, I can't.
Oh, what a relief. It's like really loud.
I've been there. Been there. Good thing we have these good mics that block out anything else.
Yeah. Okay. Well, do you want to talk about the NBA?
Sure. TickPick should be your first choice to buy football tickets because they save fans money by never charging any service fees, ever. TickPick is an exclusive ticketing partner for Spinsters and the Blue Wire Network. Visit tickpick.com/spin today and use the promo code SPIN to save $10 on your first order of NFL tickets. TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for all NFL tickets. Don't believe it? If you find better prices for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. And me personally, I'm super excited to go to a Las Vegas Raiders game in Vegas in their new stadium because there's nothing like a live game, especially a live football game. Visit tickpick.com/spin today and use the promo code SPIN to save $10 on your first order of NFL tickets.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We finally have some NBA stuff to talk about, kinda.
Yeah,
we're getting some close.
Some Ben Simmons stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I can't. No more.
Yeah,
no more.
Literally, the news is like he's just kidding. He's coming back. He's gonna have to like write the novel of the year for me to fucking give a shit about anything Ben Simmons related, like, and I don't even mean that as to be rude to him, to be rude to not knowing what's going on with your job situation. I'm sure that's stressful. I just mean I don't just work it out or don't.
But, yeah, that's how I feel. Work it out or don't. Let me know whatever you decide.
Yeah, keep me updated. After the
fact. Send me a postcard from wherever you are and wherever you decide.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I
feel. Yeah. I don't need the updates. It's kind of like when your friends, you had that friend who would break up, get back together, break up, get back together.
Yeah.
Break up. And then they started like, they would start to not tell you because they'd be so embarrassed at the frequency at which it was happening. Like every fight would be a breakup, yeah. And then almost overnight, they would get back together.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I would start saying, just give me weekly or monthly updates. I don't need every single update because it's a lot.
If it was a straight couple, I would straight up say, I just don't bring him along. Like, I don't.
Just not.
I don't even want to see him, to be honest. And if I was friends with the guy more than the girl, I would still tell him, like, look, she can come, but you got to stay home, dude. I'm sorry. Work it out. Anyway, we decided, I saw a tweet this week from Iman at @_nope_name. Everyone should follow her. God, she's so funny. Asking who is the player you are most excited about who has a new home this year? And yes. So, yeah, we came with a couple. Do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
You can go first.
Okay. Well, as a bit of an homage to Iman, since she was the one who prompted this idea, but also this is genuinely probably the one I'm most excited about, is Kyle Lowry. And yeah, actually, maybe that's it. Fucked up to say, to credit Iman for that, because she's a Raptors fan. I know it's a bit of a sensitive thing, which is something we should talk about. I know. I really do love Raptors fans. I think it's such a unique thing what they are going through right now, because I'm sure it's very annoying after a championship in years of Kyle Lowry being this player. Mm-hmm. For it to appear that he's only now being recognized. I've seen some frustration when Heat fans and or media are tweeting about Kyle Lowry after the preseason games, like, oh my God, he's totally new Kyle Lowry. Wow, like these assists he's having are so much better than the ones he had in Toronto. And Toronto fans do not understand at all, right. Which is fair.
Crying myself to sleep.
It's legitimate. I think they should feel those feelings to the fullest, because it's only going to continue if the Heat have success, and I think they will have success.
Yeah.
Which brings me to Kyle Lowry, which also another thing that probably hurt was Nick Nurse. Did you see he accidentally included Kyle when he was saying the starters for one of their preseason games?
Oh.
And then he said, oh, excuse me, Freddie, meaning like Fred VanVleet.
No.
I know.
Aww, that means he was out in front of mine, like just missing him. Aww.
I know. I think
it's okay.
Kyle's going to be very. Yeah, no, they will be fine. That's the other thing. This is a new era for Toronto, too. They get to showcase. Mm-hmm. Other players get to step up, which can be, you can have growing pains young players, but I think they're ready for it.
Yeah.
Sometimes life gives you new challenges, I guess. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you have to watch people from your past succeed, which I think is going to be the case for the Heat. When I was thinking right. about fit between Kyle and Miami, well, beyond the obvious mentality fit of, hey, this person works extremely hard, and mm-hmm. you can see it from the disciplined way he plays. Like, he's the kind of player who knows how to slow down when other people would be inclined to rush decision making. Yeah. But he also has that special instinct when he does need to act fast on a pass or whatever it is, that can only come from years of deliberate mindfulness.
Mm-hmm. And he's a pro's pro.
Yes, an effort to understand the people he's playing with, but also the game itself and offenses, and also not to mention like the tirelessness on defense. Mm-hmm. Like, he regularly is planting 2 feet firmly in the face of giant men and is like, yes, I'm going to take this, knowing exactly what it feels like every time. I mean, he gets run over.
He does. He gets beat down. But he has that nice, you know, nice butt to fall back on. So it's okay.
Exactly. yeah, there's a kind of like love and labor that he gives basketball that I think is exactly what the Heat cherish.
Hmm.
And there's some team stereotypes are, I think, quite tired and maybe at this point untrue. And I feel like I keep bringing up the Spurs, but I do feel like right now the franchise stereotype, if you're a brand new NBA fan, you wouldn't quite understand what it means in relation to this team of like them growing players from nothing or from seemingly mm-hmm. nothing. And being more about the machine than the individual player. I don't know that that stands out. But with the Heat, I do think being hard workers isn't necessarily something you need those winning results to prove. Like sometimes you pour yourself into training and you still don't win, but the Heat empty themselves into training, and typically it's also what replenishes them, and that is also Kyle Lowry.
And it's just a great environment to be in. Just as a player, as a competitor, you want to be with people that have that same mindset, and you want a coach that has that same mindset. Like I feel like Spoelstra really creates that environment for their players, and you have someone like Jimmy Butler, like who is the star, but he's given 1,000% in like practice. So that's just the kind of vibes that I feel like the Heat give off, and Lowry, you can only benefit from that, I think.
Yeah, and 3 a.m. practice, Jimmy Butler. But beyond that mentality fit for me, and kind of where this balances with somebody like Jimmy, who I think is maybe more mercurial in personality type than somebody like Kyle Lowry, who I just think of as very grounded. The Heat have needed. Can you hear that truck? My God.
I actually can't hear that.
That is a loud truck, okay? I don't know what they're hauling, but that is illegal. Like something is being hauled in there that is not legal. God damn, that thing was. Okay. What was I saying? Oh, with Jimmy. Yeah. To fit with Jimmy, Jimmy is more mercurial in like personality in terms of play style, not off the court. I don't know anything about him. I know. But to fit with that, you need someone like Kyle who is more grounded, and they have needed someone at point guard who is a grown up for a long time. Mm. Well, that's not to say that Dragic wasn't a grown man. Like he's like 35, and I truly think he gave it what he could. But Kyle's discipline has manifested into something that it takes a career to build. And yeah, the Heat can be a bit sporadic with Jimmy as their leader, but Kyle's a perfect fixed component. Like in a science equation, there's always something when you're doing a experiment.
Yeah,
that's
I'm not jumping in with the science. I'm so sorry. Ooh. I left you there.
When you're doing an experiment, you always need something to be fixed. I genuinely think he can be fixed. There's a baseline that Kyle will always give you, and that baseline is quite high. So I'm very, very excited to see him with the Heat. I think he's exactly what they need.
Wow, you got me excited. Now I'm excited. I'm gonna be watching Heat games, cheering on Kyle Lowry, the dad, the great dad that he is. Mm-hmm. For me, I'm excited for the Lakers, but I'm also nervous and all the things. But mostly because we're talking about people in new homes, but also homecomings. Russell Westbrook getting a chance to talk to his high school coach and him being like, this is always what Russ wanted. Like, he's always wanted to be a Laker. He went to UCLA. He grew up in LA, and now he's a Laker. Like, this is storybook. He even said while he was at OKC, if he could have been a Laker earlier, he would have jumped on the opportunity. Like, he always wanted to be here. So thinking about that and thinking about basketball players as humans, I am so excited for Russ to come home and be able to play in front of family and friends and in his home city. As a fan, and as other fans, we're freaking out a little bit with these preseason stats. let me just, from StatMuse, in two games, Russ has played 42 minutes, 9 assists, 15 turnovers, 4 from 19 from the field. But it's okay. One, it's preseason. Who cares?
How many shots did he take? 19?
19.
He took 19 shots and he's had 15 turnovers?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
in
so
two
bad.
Games. It's two, but he said, Russ being Russ, at the post-game press conference to the media, he was like, I want y'all to keep the same energy when I drop 20 assists. Like, he knows that this is a fluke. Like, We know. Get the jitters out. You're in the purple and gold for the first time. It's a lot of weight to carry. I think he's going to settle in. And we only have three people from last season on the Lakers. LeBron, AD, THT, who now is out getting surgery on his thumb. So this is a whole new team. Unlimited expectations. I think Russ is going to settle in fine. If AD plays center, which he doesn't want to, whole nother conversation. But if he listens and he does that.
It's been the conversation of his career.
Whole career. Just do it. It's fine. If we stay healthy, we're already, you know, Ariza is already out missing months for an ankle surgery. Like I said, THT with his thumb. Like, we do not need more injuries. And I think Russ stays healthy. He's going to have another great season. He's going to be happy he's at home. And I can't wait to watch him. It's going to be great.
I feel like the garbage truck in the background right now, outside my apartment, just going off, like literally being so loud the whole time you're talking about Russ does not bode well spiritually for him. Look, that's just, if you follow, if you follow Russ at all from a loving standpoint or on the way other side of it and you have hated him for a long time, the thing that we know where these circles cross over is being able to admit that he has slow starts.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't have a slow start, he has a huge gap in the middle where it's slow. And slow might be the wrong word for this too, because it's not like he's unproductive. He's right. Hyperproductive in some areas, but then almost like negates it because in other areas he's so counterproductive, like the turnovers.
Mm-hmm. They're just like him throwing it out of bounds. Like, I think it's like unsettled. Like, he just gets super, like you said, like hyper, and then he just like doesn't really know where his place is. I don't know what happens. It's just like this brain fart that happens. But yes, continue.
I genuinely think he has the issue of trying too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I'm sorry. Of all the issues somebody can have, that's one that I don't mind, because eventually it works out where you're trying too hard, but you're also succeeding and it's turning into something better. The Lakers, regardless, are going to have a rough beginning of the season. I could see it being the same as the season that turned into the pandemic season, where everyone was so worried about them in the beginning. They, like you said, THT, I don't know how long he's out for, do you?
I think they said a couple weeks.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's actually not that bad.
Not bad.
Trevor Ariza's out for like
months.
A month and a half, 2 months. Yeah. Malik Monk has a groin strain.
Who I'm so excited about. He's
I never know how long those last. Like, that's just not my area. But it seems like it's going to be a couple weeks. It seems like it's I don't know. But also, and maybe it's already been resolved, but the thing with those, and something that especially Lakers fans feel with that particular injury, is like those things can linger. There are certain injuries when you see them as a basketball fan, and there are certain ones like as football fans, they're just almost like specific to the sport,
mm-hmm.
that you know that one's going to be around a while. A back injury, forget about it. A back injury with AD, okay. So he's going to be having issues in March is what you're saying.
Yeah. Exactly.
So hopefully this just is able to get fully resolved. Obviously, he's younger, so Malik Monk. But yeah, I'm excited about that one too. I am excited to watch this team.
Wow. I didn't know what you were going to say there.
You know I love LeBron. I think I'm nervous for the – something we should make a pledge to each other is let's just try to ignore the discourse.
Yes, and just like what you said about a slow start, like, of course, I have those expectations already in my mind. A lot of Laker fans do not. It's like, this has to work immediately. I don't care if it works right now. I care if it works in June, in May. Like, that's when it needs to work. And I think last year, it all fell apart, like coming towards the end of the season, middle of the season. So we can have a slow start as long as it works and everyone is healthy when it matters. I think Anthony Davis fell on the floor probably 20 times when I watched the preseason game against the Sun. And I said, don't play him until like 5 months from now. Like, we need you to be healthy when it matters. And you were not. And that's what ultimately hurt us last season. So I have my expectations level. And I think for a lot of these switches that have been happening around the league, we all need to have that mindset. And what we promise each other is like, no huge predictions from the jump. Like, we're going to ride this wave. It's a long season. There's going to be an in-season tournament thrown in there. Like, there's so much time.
That's so not this year, right?
I don't know if it's this year, but no, they might throw it in. They might throw in like 10 random games in like Cabo. I'm making up stuff. I'm starting rumors. But
look, I would love that.
There's time, is what I'm saying. So we
yeah, just their season starts mid-January. Lakers season starts mid-January.
Right.
They have they have the unique privilege of having Anthony Davis and LeBron James. You're going to be fine. You get in at the – I mean, look, we're saying this like I recognize – I also watched the last playoffs. Maybe this isn't the – maybe it's too soon. But I think even if you get a not a 1-4 playoff seed, you will be fine.
Hot take.
But, again, recent history disputes that. okay, my next one is Lonzo Ball.
Okay. Yeah.
And DeMar, of course. My concern for the Bulls and fit here is a bit existential. And then we can get to what I'm looking forward to, which is that two talented players are getting a fresh start.
Mm-hmm.
But the concern is like, okay, so what do Lonzo and DeMar and the Bulls all have in common?
Ooh, I don't know.
Years of expectation and years of not meeting said expectation, right?
Oh, yeah.
No, but it's true. Like,
It is.
And I'm really nervous about that pressure being combined. Whoever decided to turn the fact that pressure makes diamonds into an inspirational quote, like, that person sucked. That sounds like something your boss would say immediately after giving you an assignment that you have an unrealistic deadline for and you have to work on the weekend instead of going to the park with your dog that is like you should.
An amazing point. I can just pressure see that is not on the poster board.
Yeah, that should be the new one. Pressure is not good. Like, it's not always good. Sometimes it, yes, of course, it is good. But building a life around the idea of putting pressure on yourself or building a career around the idea that putting pressure on yourself is literally why I'm in therapy. So
I was going to say, me too.
Ask Janet, dude. It's not good. Okay. and the evidence that I can give you to the contrary is like some of our favorite teams, the Memphis Grizzlies last year.
Mm-hmm.
The Charlotte Hornets, the SGA CP3 year one Thunder. What do they all have in common? Like, exceeded expectations because they weren't really there. They're in different situations too, all of them, the Thunder included, despite CP3 being there, were young and not much was expected of them. But if the Bulls can foster that kind of environment to say, hey guys, let's just see what this thing can be, instead of this is what this thing has to achieve, I think that's the key.
Yeah.
Environment is so much more important than any of us realize. And if you think it's all that different than your workplace,
think again.
It's not. Like, we've all had terrible jobs where we've been asked to do things that are unrealistic or not. Yeah, I guess I was just about to say not realistic.
Unrealistic and not realistic.
Crazy enough, those mean the exact same thing. But now for the positives. The positives are Lonzo is shooting well. It is preseason, mm-hmm. yes, but his shot looks so much more natural. Like, he's mm-hmm. able to step into it better. The fluidity is there. And, I mean, like, is anything easier to spot in basketball than, like, a weird jump shot?
Sticks out now, like it just a looks, sore thumb.
Yeah, exactly. It looks better. And with DeMar, you know, actually, I really have no idea. I was thinking about this when I decided to say the Bulls and Lonzo and DeMar. I have no idea what this team is going to look like.
Me neither.
It's like, yeah, it's like I've baked a cake and I don't know what the filling is going to be. Like, I know what the base is, but mm-hmm. I don't know what ties together an offense with Lonzo, DeMar, and Zach LaVine. But I know it's not defense. I mean, I'm not going to, like, shit on Lonzo Ball's defense after what he's proven, but I think their best bet is to be a fast team of gunners. Mm-hmm. Like, their games all have quite a bit of baggage just by existing in 2021. But so they need something light. They need, like, a lot of movement to make it work. It can't be heavy buttercream to complete the analogy. It just it has to be something, like, very fluid. So, yeah, I'm interested. I don't know. They're going to have to be fast, but I also think they can be fast.
I think it's going to be so fun to see Zach LaVine happy. Like, he's been this well, playing this well, not really happy with his situation and his team. So imagine that, but happy, and that he has some help. Hopefully those expectations don't come, you know, crashing down. But I think right now he's like, it's not all on me. There's people are talking about other players on my team. I'm excited to see how he kind of rises to that. That'll be fun.
Yeah, and if there's any nonsense going on between the coaching staff and between the players, which has just been his entire experience with the Bulls. I mean, almost right. until recently, his entire experience. You have someone older with more experience in DeMar who can kind of act as a shield with that.
Mm.
And that's underrated as well. So yeah. I'm glad that he has that now. He's had Zach LaVine, his whole career has been growing pains that are not self-inflicted. They are like environment inflicted. So I feel for the guy.
I do. I feel for him too.
Do you have another one?
Yeah. The new guards in New York. Pause for applause. Okay. Kemba for the Knicks and Patty Mills, my guy, love that guy, for Brooklyn. And I think it's interesting, the conversation with, you know, Patty Mills when he originally got traded was like, this is a different role. He's kind of going to be backup point guard for Harden or for Kyrie. But like we talked about in our last conversational with Kyrie possibly sitting out all of home games, he's kind of having this promotion a little bit, as what the headlines are calling it, of his role kind of expanding with the Nets. So I think that that's interesting. No one was really expecting that. It was kind of going to be his second unit. But now I think for home games, he's going to have more minutes. It's going to be really interesting, like the stats at the end of the season where it's like Patty Mills at home, Patty Mills away, or just the Nets at home and Nets away. That's going to be a whole different conversation. But I think his style of play, his leadership, him being a floor general is going to be great for this Nets team who, like we were talking about with the Lakers, went through some growing pains of really just not playing with each other with all their superstars or their whole roster together. And I think Patty Mills will just add some sense of calm, just like his style adds to my life. And I just love looking at his Instagram posts. But yeah, so I think it's going to be a great fit, almost seamless. That's my expectation for him.
Well, the advantage of someone like a Patty Mills is that he has dealt with health turmoil before on a team that really he was not supposed to be the person stepping into the role that he was in San Antonio. And often he had to step into something it's almost impossible to live up to, but he did his best. And offering, being able to offer any kind of consistency, even if it's at an inferior level, to what you would get, what the team would get from the first option, because obviously Patty Mills is never going to be Kyrie when he, right. or, you know, even if he has to fill in for Harden, if there is something injury-wise there. I think that I just hope that that Nets fans can allow him that forgiveness of, yes, he's not going to ever be that person, but he will offer some sort of stability, even if it is a bit less than what you would get from your starters. Not even a bit less. It's going to be significantly less. However,
it is.
He is capable. And I look, not having a player for like half of your games, if this is how this ends, truly plays out, you need somebody who is going to be ready to tie together those differences, because that's stark.
Yeah. That's what he said too. Like, one thing about him, he's going to know his role. And that's what he was quoted saying, like, hey, I don't think my role has changed. I'm still going to bring the energy. I'm still going to bring, you know, Patty Mills into this Brooklyn Nets team. And it's, if I get more playing time, if I get less playing time, I think that consistency factor is what the Nets need. And if it gets more minutes in home games, he just so happens to. But he is already saying, like, I know my role. I'm going to bring that every time. And I'll see what happens, because we're all waiting to see what happens in that front. So there's nothing that he can really do there. It's out of his control.
Yeah, no, all he can be is a shoulder to lean on. Like,
yeah,
you know, metaphorically on the court, but maybe off the court. I don't know. I'm sure that people are, sure that internally there's a lot of frustration, but I very much think that he's capable of being that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patty Mills is a good one. I really wish him all the best, because he's thrown into a very odd, very atypical situation.
Yes, yes. And for Kemba, I think this is very similar to Russ, like a homecoming, a New York kid getting to play for the Knicks. Also something of his, like, just being able to live out that dream. And I think you would love this. Tibbs has switched it up a little bit. He's like, hey, guys, shoot threes. We want you to shoot. Kemba, we got Kemba now. Go ahead and shoot threes. They had, over their preseason so far, they have 52 three-point attempts, which is, like, almost unheard of for the Knicks, who were 27th in three-point attempts last season. And normally, someone like Thibodeau, not changing anything, has changed his tune and said, hey, shoot, if you're open, take the shots. And I think Kemba, when we're talking about fit, is a reason for that. He wants him to shoot more. The Knicks have more shooting. Will they go in, shooters, makers? We'll see. But I think just taking them and being able to switch it up and changing the format of what the Knicks typically do is groundbreaking for the New York Knicks.
Yeah, Kemba offers you a lot that they did not have without him.
Right.
That's for sure. Mm-hmm. He's also coming from an interesting situation of never quite fitting the mold for Boston, and then before that kind of making his grand escape from Charlotte, where he was for the beginning of his career. And I always thought, if he can only get somewhere where he's got enough around him. And I think that the Knicks are the perfect mix of, you don't have the crazy expectations that Celtics fans just have.
Yeah, automatically. Just,
I mean, you would think that they haven't made the playoffs in like a decade.
Meanwhile, the team that hasn't made a playoffs in like a decade, there is no expectations, and they celebrate them like they've won the championship. But when we go back to the playoffs, that Atlanta series, Atlanta was kicking their butts with threes, and there were no adjustments. The Knicks just stayed the same. So being able to, if they were able to replay that series now with Kemba, now with a three-point threat, I think that's a different, that's like a whole different team almost. So I like the switch up.
It, the other thing about it is, like, Julius Randle, that series was nowhere.
A ghost.
Yeah, so it'll be nice to have something else to lean on. That's not just a... It's really lovely when teams come out of nowhere and it's a combination of a bunch of, I don't mean this in a mean way, but random players.
Mm-hmm.
But the downside to that Cinderella story is that when somebody, when your best player is not playing well, there's really no one else to lean on.
Mm-hmm. They really show themselves as like the pumpkins they are. That's bad. But they really show themselves for who they really are, the random players. Having somebody else like Akemba also wanting to bring glory to his city and his hometown, I think that's going to add a little fuel to the fire. Like, it's just going to be better for them for the long run, for postseason, in this type of game, in the NBA this time of year, this decade. You got to be able to shoot the three. So it's nice that the Knicks are finally coming to the party.
Yeah. And there, so many other players are young as well. It's like, this is the time to do it. Get them started young. Yeah.
I love it. Overall, I'm excited to watch this NBA season. It's going to be one of those things. Every couple years, it's every time a game comes on, you're like, oh, they're on this team? I forgot about that trade. That was so long ago in free agency. So it's going to be one of those. Everyone is everywhere. It's all mixed up.
Yeah, 100%. You also get to see who, like, is lucky because they've gotten traded or signed somewhere where the jersey is their color. Ooh, and they look amazing. Yes. Yes. And then there are people who are like, I don't think you should wear red.
Red's tough.
Red is tough.
I think that's going to be Lonzo. It's going to be interesting to see if red is his color or not. Or the pinstripes.
I have a hard time with red because I have like warm undertones.
Okay.
Because of the freckles and the whatever. So, I mean, I personally have a hard time with it, but I went to Louisville. I sucked it up. I got some... Like, you can get this stuff from Sephora where it's, like, green and it kind of neutralizes the redness. So, we'll send a whole list out to any players who are concerned about the red. It is tough.
We got you. Yeah. Don't worry. Well, I think that's a good place to end it. Mm-hmm. As our recommendations. Feel free to leave that on our voicemail. What you need us to send you. We got undertones. What's not your color? What is your color? We'll help you style it. Don't even worry about it. I got you. Leave us a voicemail at 502-874-4453 or send us an email at spinsters@bluewirepods.com to be featured on the show.
Spinsters is hosted by me, Haley O'Shaughnessy, and Jordan Liggins. This episode was produced by Jordan, Isabel Jocelyn, Harry Krinsky, and Alex Ward. Our production coordinator is Devin Shepard, and our executive producers are Peter Moses, John Yales, and me.
Hi, I'm Mohammed calling from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And I would love it if the Raptors are able to draft Evan Mobley. I think he's the best player in the draft, and I would love to have him on the Raptors. And I hope he falls to us at number 4. That's all.